where you want me to go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss different issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I just want to make an announcement before I welcome my special guest for tonight. I want to remind people that we're starting to gear up for our healing weekend in September. Why do I keep saying September? It's October 3rd and 4th here in Philadelphia. It would have been in September, but the Pope is coming that weekend in September, and there's no place left at the inn to come here to. So we're doing it the following weekend, October 3rd and 4th, and it's going to be a really important weekend for many women who are at different phases of their recovery. We're going to have our sharing session on the first day where people sit and share what they're going through and get support from everyone in the room who understands every word she's saying. And then on the second day, we'll be having some workshops, including some input from someone from the adult children group, and also from post-traumatic stress, how to handle it, and some really good speakers to help you along your way of your recovery and journey. If you are interested, you can write to me at bonkay@aol.com. bonkaye@aol.com. And in the headline, just put down Healing Weekend, and I'll send you all the information. And we'd love to have you join us. So without further ado, I am so excited tonight. There was a switch in the venue because I had an opportunity for one of the members of our Straight Wives Club to join us tonight, and her name is Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Well, hello. It's so great to be here, an opportunity to talk to you and to our many friends who are listening in.
I know. Normally, when you want to talk to me, I have to see you in another city. So this is
That's
really
true.
Good.
That's very true. Very true. I am glad that I can sit in my own home and speak to you, as I have enjoyed the times that we were.
And
together.
You know, I say welcome back to you, Nancy, because you were kind enough to do our show, you know, up this past summer before, when you came up with this brilliant article. And since that time, I've been following your career as you trudge through school. I mean, which is such a noble thing, as you go into your career. Of, you know, family counseling. I know, and you've been doing so great at it. And the best part is Nancy is a straight wife, and she's going to be working in the counseling field with straight women, right?
Exactly. That would be a special group that I would love to deal with. Families in general with that have gone through this experience.
I know. I mean, it really affects so many different aspects of the family. And there's like a lot of residual damage that's done, especially with the children. And there's not too many people who are addressing this in a way that can really make a difference. Even though we have some wonderful therapists who are part of our network, they're really wonderful, but they're working primarily with the wives. But somebody needs to specialize with these kids, and maybe you're going to have to be the one to do that, Nance.
Well, I think that's definitely something that we need to address, and I see it into when you're in a plane and they tell you, you know, if you're a parent and and there's an emergency, that you should get yourself taken care of first before taking care of the kids. And that's important that the parents kind of figure it out. But definitely the children are impacted from day one, and you need to address that. So I look forward to maybe taking that on. Exactly. So.
That would be great. So maybe you could tell people a little bit about your own story.
Okay. I'd be happy to. It's actually almost been 5 years since the reveal. It was June 5th in 2010. And I do have a reflection that I wrote back then, and I'm so glad I have it now, because sometimes after a few years you don't realize what you were going through at that time, and it's good to review and remember the pain of that time. So I want to go ahead and read some of the reflections I had then.
Good.
We were married 26 years. We were married. So June of 2010, my husband basically, through a series of things, and we knew things weren't quite right, he finally was able to sit down and talk to me and say, you know, I'm gay and I was born that way. So this is kind of reflections that I had at that time. To kind of process this myself. I'm not usually a journaler, but I'm very glad that I was able to do this. It says here, I come here today to begin to make peace with a new life that seems to be unfolding before us. Over the past few months, we've been faced with many changes that rocked our world and caused much tension, heartache, suspicions, and anger. On the other hand, it has caused me personally to reacquaint myself in the most intimate way to God, our Creator. He's been there to provide assurance, guidance, and an unmistakable peace that can only be explained through His divine power. I have had much time to reflect since the news that came on this June 5th, 2010, and although at the time the details were sketchy and unclear, I was not surprised at the revelation. Something I had suspected to be the case became a reality. The words, I am gay and I was born that way, resounded loud and clear. I did not make assumptions about how this would all play out, but the foundation of a world that seemed so certain was far from that. It made many things clear to me as we had grown apart over the past years, and I had felt the loneliness as a result of a lack of closeness in our marriage. But I quietly put away some of those feelings, dedicating myself to the task of educating and raising our children and in supporting my spouse in his career by managing our household. I know that as best he could, with an ever-increasing struggle to disguise the feelings he always had, he tried to continue to be committed to supporting our family. but ever increasingly removed himself emotionally and dedicated much more time to his own personal growth and development outside of our relationship together. On at least two occasions, I initiated conversations about how I would like to see us develop a relationship that would help us grow together. These interactions got very little to no response, and I just quit trying. There seemed to be no room or common ground together for us to make that happen. I miss the relationship that comes from the dedication to grow closer in a husband and wife union. What I saw more and more was an association that regarded me mostly as the mother, children, and a business partner as we managed our home. But here we are, and I have played out many scenarios in my mind. I've told him that I believe God knew his struggles before we married, yet provided a family relationship, children, and an extended family that loves and accepts him even now. I also believe he provided an environment at work, the highest caliber, that gives him the opportunity to grow, not only in what he does best, but an exposure to top leaders and fellow believers. All of these serving as a hedge of protection from life that may or may not be that which God intended. I do believe that not all gay men are in follow their attraction any more than a gambler should live at a casino or an alcoholic bar. Forgive me if this is a simplistic way to describe a very complex struggle. These associations can be destructive and untimely deceive, ultimately deceive one into believing to follow this attraction as God's plan for that individual. But ultimately, that is not my decision to make, and only he and God know the answer. I just want to make sure that no stone is left unturned so that the decision is made assuredly and without regret. And the answer to the question, can I be married to a gay man? My answer is no. I cannot be married to a man who is not dedicated fully to his wife at the exclusion of all others. This was part of our commitment at the altar, in which we were to forsake all others and devote ourselves completely to each other. I know that the person that is gay remained hidden, and the person I married compartmentalized himself to accommodate the different lives in an attempt at keeping the gay person out of sight while still giving the appearance of a husband and wife relationship. The events of recent months make that duality impossible to continue. And what little was revealed to me about an ongoing relationship only led to more suspicions. The trust I thought I knew had broken. The frustration which I now face is separation. The enigma of that person continues. Our separation gave way to more secrecy, very little disclosure about where we were headed. This is no longer acceptable, and I seek to know where we stand. I request that we meet together before now. It was rejected. I'm now compromising my meeting with a therapist who already has a relationship with my husband and try to initiate some dialogue about the future. Perhaps in this meeting, knowing that he has revealed enough information that together we conclude that divorce is the only solution. I'm ready for whatever is or will be determined. Now, keeping in mind that this was written 5 years ago and during this time, and those were my thoughts, and what had happened is my spouse had started seeing a counselor by himself, and I said, well, great, you know, let him go fix him or something, you know. But then as time went on, what was going on there, he was less disclosing of what was going on, and I didn't know at all what was going on. And finally, I had asked that we need to meet together with his therapist just to talk through what's going on, because he'd begin to say, well, and now he's talking about us getting a divorce. And I was not even a part of any of this conversation along the way. So I really felt outside, really felt totally out of, you know, a process that I felt like I needed to be more involved in. And that's when I wrote this, and hoping to read it with his counselor.
Let me ask you a question, Nancy, if you don't mind me interrupting you for a moment.
Sure.
Okay, so both of you came from a strong Christian background, is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
And marriage was never going to be something that was just taken lightly. Before you made those vows and those commitments, I think both of you probably went through a period of time in discussing whether or not, you know, this would be the end of the road and the beginning of your lives together, right?
Right, yes. I mean, there was unquestionably marriage is not to be taken lightly, and we were committed to a marriage. And, you know, from both of us coming from the background, the Christian background, we met in our Christian singles of a large church. We were very involved in ministry along mm-hmm. with our own career. So, yes.
And how old were you both when you met?
We were 27. I had gotten out of college and I had began teaching. And like I said, he was working as an architect with a company. So we were both just began working, but definitely at a good time for marriage. I had not necessarily dated anyone seriously to the point that we had dated, but yet we, within 3 months of our beginning to date, he had proposed to me on a big, we went to a weekend island thing with friends, and he proposed on a beach. It was so romantic. I was just taken. However, we had not discussed marriage, but I knew mm-hmm. that somehow I felt, well, this must be God's plan for, you know, for us. And I said yes, and 6 months later we were married. And, you know, it was, it went well. We didn't have kids for about 6 years into our marriage. We both were working, and things are going along well. But I'd say even through that, I had no experience to know, compare it to anything in terms of the amount of intimacy or all that should be a part of a marriage, and was, you know, okay with it. But, you know, as I backtrack and see the flags even that early on.
Exactly. You know, I think that when you get married and you're Christian, you're really at a disadvantage of looking for those red flags, because those women who are part of our network who led very religious, you know, or they were good Christians. I won't say they're ultra religious, but they led good Christian lives.
Mm-hmm.
They were very faithful, you know, and didn't get involved early with sexual relationships. They wanted to wait till they got married. And they really didn't have, they weren't like out there partying and dating a million guys. You know, they were looking for their match, you know, their soulmate for life.
Exactly.
So sometimes women who come from religious backgrounds tell me, well, I had nothing to compare it to. And I thought maybe I was expecting a little too much, or maybe the stories that they talk about, you know, were just hype and jive. You know, and maybe it's really not like that and he's nice to me. So even if it's not like real intimacy, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. Did you kind of feel that way?
No, and that's very true. And, you know, even along the way, you kind of hear from other women who are married, and they talk about, you know, I just can't get them all. You know, I'd say, well, I don't feel that way. You know, he doesn't seem to be as interested as some of the wives would profess their husbands to be. But once again, you just kind of catalog that and move along and don't ever think of any alternatives or even discussing it, you know, with them.
That's another question I wanted to ask you. Did you ever bring it up to him at all, or you just accepted this is how it is?
I think as best I could, there was some of that, but not a real direct displeasure in it, because, you know, you didn't feel it. What are you going to say, or what should you say, you know, compared to what? You know, I'm going, okay.
Exactly.
This is the way it is, and that's a lot of what we do. We compromise our own desires along the way and adjust ourselves or try to find in ourselves the fault, or rather than thinking it might be something that you should ask about and that you should deserve whatever, you know, at least to have a conversation about. So that's one of the little parts of that. That we tend to not have that discussion, or feel like we adjust along the way, and slowly and surely we adjust more than just that. We adjust emotionally. We try to make sure everything's at peace. We kind of compromise those things, and that's part of, you know, what it leads to is in the end you have you seem to have nothing of what is you, but everything about what you are is what you've adjusted in the family. Yeah, you know, to make sure the kids are doing well, make sure there's no conflict there.
Do you ever question yourself as if maybe there's something with you that's not right?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's why you just decided, well, it must be, you know, I must not be interested or, and like I say, it goes beyond the sexual realm. It's just, he cared emotionally a lot more for the issues of men, friends. And, you know, I thought, well, that's kind of a unique thing that they're, normally men don't bond that much, but he would really get involved there and, you know, less and less concern or care, I guess, for my emotional needs. And he avoided a lot of painful situations. You know, we didn't talk about things that would be in depth, and I really felt I was losing something we never would have had, I guess, is really a transparency is what I would call a person who can really be and see and feel what they want to. Because obviously if he did that, he would reveal more of what he was trying to hide, which is being gay.
You know, let me ask you this question also, Nancy, because you got married within a relatively short time. Of course, you got married in a much longer time than it took me to get married to my gay husband. I did it much sooner than you did. And, you know, so let's say that maybe if we had been with the person longer, do you think maybe we would have seen more red flags? Or do you think even if we would have seen the red flags, we would have ignored them because we felt like whatever the problem is, we can fix it?
I think so. I can even remember during that time some of the guys that he connected with, you know, like I say, they were also single, but they were not, I don't know, they weren't necessarily gay, but there was some internal things that didn't feel right, but I ignored them. I think back even now, I would imagine that part of his haste in initiating that would have been she might see it, or that, you know, I could think that you should allow the time you need to really get to know somebody. I agree with you that even the hindsight things are hindsight based on something we know now that we didn't know then, and we would probably make some of the same decisions.
Maybe.
And
know what? I don't think we really understood it. I mean, like, if somebody said to me now, oh, you're going with a guy and he's gay, I would say, no, I'm not going to go with a guy who's gay. But back then I would have said, what do you mean he's gay? He's going with me. That doesn't even make any sense. Why would he be gay if he marries me? And if he wants to have a family with me and stay married to me, he's making a vow to God with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that because I'm not from the Christian religion. But as a Christian woman, I would think you'd say that.
Right.
You know, under, you know, God's auspices, you know, we're taking these vows as Christians. So why would I even think he's gay? Or even if there was something quite somewhat off, if he loves me enough, I know I can make it better. Because I think we're the kind of make it better women, aren't we?
Exactly. No, that would not even enter into, and I would say from what you just said, the primary thing is they're interested in me. It's not like I didn't know and see gay men, say college and all that were more deliberately so, and they definitely weren't interested in women. And I respected
that. That's
what
we thought gay was. I mean, nobody told us that gay can also marry a straight woman.
No, that was not even
a
consideration. I wish I'd heard at least one person, you know. But even the whole concept of them actually being gay, because we didn't understand it, and I don't know that we totally understand it now, but we know enough to try to make sure we don't do it again. But it's just, it is complex. It is extremely complex. And for all the women we've met, whether Christian or not.
It's unfathomable that, you know, a man marries you, he has sex with you, he has children with you, and you're not really experienced. You know, I had previous marriages to go on, but most women, especially from the Christian community, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you think you have a family, and you think this is the way it is, and maybe it's not what you see on TV or what your friends talk about, but you have a good family union. You go to church together. You pray together. You raise your children together. He works. You work. And where does gay even come into this kind of picture? He wants to be your family.
Right. And honestly, as you have said before, they're still trying to figure it out. And they have been told, even in the Christian community, especially at that time, well, all you need to do is, you know, pray it away. You need to
mm-hmm.
go ahead and marry a woman, and those feelings will go away. You know, for whatever advice along the way. Plus, they don't want it. And mentally, we have a power to be, to you know, to not have the things that we don't want to happen. I mean, we can make a believer of ourselves. And he said, well, maybe I'm not. Look, I like this person, and I know that they also are pretty selective with the kind of woman that would be not see that, so to speak. And I'm sure he saw that in a friend. We were friends. We had some commonalities in our work with art projects and stuff. We did some of the drama, the sets and things like that. And he was a fun, happy, you know, happy in terms of just kind of a humorous guy.
Good, like in time?
And
like,
that was very
good time.
And also not, you know, tremendously
husband, right?
advanced. Pardon me?
You can still have fun with your gay husband. I mean, I used to have a lot of fun. We'd go to bingo. We'd go
mm-hmm.
out to movies. We'd go out to dinner. We had good times before I, you know,
yes.
really knew what was going on. Even
mm-hmm.
if we had a lot of bad times, there were good times to counterbalance it. And I figured, yeah, maybe I'm just being, you know, suspicious little nag because of this or that. So, yeah, no
exactly.
no marriage is all bad. And, well, I shouldn't say that. There's some marriages that are really abusive. But for the majority of them, these guys really want to try to make something happen for us. More
right.
likely for themselves, not for us, for them. They really want
mm-hmm.
to be a husband. They really want those feelings
yeah.
to go away. And especially, I was discussing this today, I had an interview with a guy from a newspaper in Vietnam where you're really, you know, crushed into that culture where gay is really not accepted, arranged marriages are what you have to do, which is
mm-hmm.
that way in India and a lot of the other countries as well, where women really suffer. But
yeah.
you know, I was saying to him, like, these guys that get married in this country, it's not like they're going to do it to be spiteful to women because I'm a woman hater. They really do in their hearts want to make this work. They don't want to be gay. They're being told
right.
by the church, if you're gay, you're going to hell. So
mm-hmm.
not just the church, I explained to him. This is so many different religions. And even though I'm of the Jewish faith, in the religious Jewish end of the faith, they believe the same thing. It's just like the Christian church. So I think any kind of fundamentalist type of religion always tells you the same message. So
mm-hmm.
He's telling me in Vietnam they're really scared and they get married even though they're gay because you can't be gay there. And I said to him, you know what,
mm-hmm.
it's not that much better here in a lot of places. Maybe in the big cities you hear less of it, but
mm-hmm.
that's not what America is made up of. It's all these little rural towns and villages and all over the country where even
right.
today, do you find as a Christian woman that there's still a lack of tolerance for this in churches?
Definitely so. I mean, I would like to, you know, it's easy to generalize, but I know that there is a movement towards acknowledging, and churches, especially those who are trying to be relevant today, are trying to talk about it, have a discussion, have a conversation with the gay community. You know, they're really trying to do some of that, and it still doesn't mean they've determined a change of mind of whether you should or should not be gay. I think and I don't want to even, I've heard so many different ways, but I'd say the general message is still it is a sin, and that there are three or four passages in the Bible that clarify that. And if you don't have to explore it any further by either having a family member or being married to someone who is gay, you kind of sit there and you go with that. Unless it becomes a personal experience to you that you have to delve into it and have a new reality, which is my case and many other women, they'll sit on that. And it really has to be almost a personal experience, knowing a real person where you truly delve into it and get beyond an explanation of those particular verses to say that this is more than a lifestyle choice because no one would choose it. And that is, but I can see where those who don't have to, you know, have no experience with you know, having it personal, be personal. I happen to have a brother who is gay, who really a year or two after we got married, he's 18, and he came out, and really my dad is the one who asked him, and my dad was a pastoral counselor, and he just sensed the heart to talk to him about this, and from that point, my dad really studied and opened up and saw a lot of places, of verses, and was able to really understand that for the sake of, in support of my brother, who has all the support, and my father, and all the, in the family. So we all were accepting of, you know, it's not like we were just saying, you know, you're gay, we don't talk to you, or you should be this and that. So that support has been there for people who are gay. But little mm-hmm. did I know, just within that year, I mean, I married a gay man. So really since I was age 7 when my brother was born, he actually shares my birthday, he was gay. So I've been around gay since I was 7, but didn't know, but from different angles. One in which he came out and family was open and willing, and the other who did not and tried to, you know, as best he understood, try to make something happen other than that, because that was not acceptable. I know he knew it wouldn't be acceptable in his own family. And those, this is what happens. One who is able to live it freely, and the other who had to kind of deny it for many years, but much like a beach ball underwater, it's got to come up. It's the reality of it comes up, and that made me know for sure he would not choose to not be in this marriage with the kids, and he loves his children. He, as best he could, loved me, but there was something greater than within him. That was who he really was, that just would not go away. And in his 40s and 50s, definitely was, you know, that was the truth. And he was delving more with that and talking to people. He was already really, probably 10 years before, told me, was really coming to terms with that was who he was. And I think he was able, on his own, to kind of do some research preparation for it, you know, and really it became so loud he could not let it go. And that's when I was noticing enough difference that he was just really not apart and much disconnected with my, I mean, our relationship, and just, it was just very obvious. And so I'd been alone for longer than we talked within the time in 2010, but I couldn't exactly put my, you know, finger on what is this? Why is, you know, why am I so alone? Why do we not have a relationship? So the answer became clear.
Did he tell you that he had been struggling with it all his life?
Pardon me?
Did he tell you he had been struggling with this his whole life?
Oh, yeah. He could say he now, you know, or even shortly after he said he was gay, he said, when I was, I think he was saying 5 or 7, he came up to his mom with his friend, Michael, he said. And he said, Mom, when I grow up, I want to marry Michael. Now, I know kids will say things and, you know, be good friends and confuse that. But that he remembers so vividly, that that was where he knew that that was an attraction for him. And, of course, whatever response his mother gave, you know, probably was not appropriate and, you know, didn't help him at all. So I know that he probably put that away as something too. So, I'm glad that he was able to finally process this whole thing for himself,
mm-hmm.
because it was truly miserable for him and for all of us. But
exactly.
It's still... Uh-huh.
No, I'm saying since that time, how much longer did you stay together before you separated?
We were separated for, let's say, in June was when he talked to me about that. We stayed together talking about it for a while, but, you know, just because of the whole shock of what did this mean. But I believe in October of that year, he actually moved out, because it's when I realized more about the involvements that were not all, but enough to say, you know, this is really toxic that we're even under the same roof, house together, and that's when he was already making some arrangements anyway. Like I say, what he was presenting to me, I knew nothing about who he was dealing with, but it seemed to me similar to an underground or something where people kind of start connecting when they struggle. They know who to call and all that, but I was never part of that. So yeah, in October that year he left, but he never came back. We actually probably divorced a year later. And it was just the whole process of figuring it all out and moving on, and him continuing therapy. I actually began to see a therapist in the same practice that he was going to, and after two or three sessions with her, I kind of asked her, I knew she was divorced, and I said, well, what, it seems that you understand a lot about what I'm saying, and so she ends up telling me that she had, after 27-year marriage, her husband left her because he was gay and was already in a 10 or 15-year relationship with someone, but finally was going to leave her. And I was the first person I found out later that she had, since her experience, that she had heard about going through this. It's not like she was even doing this as a therapist, you know, dealing with women, straight women. But I happened to go to her. So that, to me, was a great thing to have her, besides the fact that I began to research on my own, because the uniqueness, too, about this is, who do you go to with this information? We're involved in a church.
Mm-hmm.
His work is very much the corporate world that would not be accepting necessarily of this, especially knowing that he had been there for all these years and had not introduced himself that way in his work. So you really find it as a both Christian and those who are not really to hear this, you become a part of that closet with them. You go into the closet with them. It's very hard to know where to go with this kind of information. And you have to find it out on your own, at least at the time I did. And that's when I went to the internet. And, of course, I looked up what is called Exodus International, which is something for Christians to look for, because they try to kind of a reparative therapy, you know, trying to change them, you know. And I was going, I wish you would go to that, but now I'm glad they didn't. But you know, at the time you want anything to say, let's make this, you know, happen. Surely we're going to be married and surely we're going to continue on. He can deal with this and we can move on. You know, that's just all the places you go. But I found your website, and that is really where I was able to hear so much about women who've gone through this like me. And your book, I believe your first book was out, Shattered Life, and I ordered it immediately. Began to read those stories, and it was such a release to me to hear so many different people, some Christians, some, all these stories. I go, yes, this is what I'm talking about. And from that experience, of course, finding this blog radio show to listen to, this was the main place that I was able to begin to see something that looked like what I was going through. Because the spouses kind of moved on in his world, and they kind of get out there doing their thing, and you kind of left to figure it out for yourself.
There's no roadmap. Exactly. You know, as far as, of course, our member Wendy has a really good guideline for that map. But
yeah.
It's so scary because even though this is so prevalent in the sense that you have 4 million women who are like this in this country, you just feel so isolated, like you're the only one going through it. And
you're,
I guess that's because
alone.
There's always a sense of shame. And I understand it, trust me. You know, women carry the sense of shame when they talk about this to other people, as if people will question them, and they do. Like,
yes.
He wasn't gay when he married you. How did he become gay now?
Exactly.
Where did you fail as a wife? You know, you had children.
How could you not tell? Did you know?
How couldn't you tell before? Well, that's one of them. And then they don't understand homosexuality, so they think maybe you had something to do with it. Because after all, he was straight when he married you. He was able to have sex with you, have children with you. And now all of a sudden, he doesn't want to be with you. So
yeah.
I had really weird comments made to me in the early years of my marriage because there was virtually nothing known about this. Like, I'll never forget this one woman at work. She said, you know, because I used to work with my ex-husband in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
And she would say, oh, he's so charming. He's so handsome. He's so funny. Yes, he was such a narcissist, but, you know, I didn't know that word back then. And she said, you know, I don't understand how you could leave him. I said, he's gay. So she says, well, everybody has something wrong with him. Look at all the good things he has about him. You know, and she really meant it when she said it. I mean, this was the scary part. So people are always putting the blame on you, like, you know, you're not liberal enough, you're not tolerant enough, big deal, so they're a little different. So, you know, the more they come out of the closet, I feel the more we go into the closet.
Exactly.
You
well,
know,
I didn't even tell that
deeper.
Many people. As many people as you were saying, well, he's gay, I couldn't even say that. I couldn't even.
Right.
I was just, you know.
I didn't say it right away, don't worry. It took me a while to be able to say that. I was too embarrassed to say it.
Yeah.
Not embarrassed for him, but embarrassed for me that I would have to mention that to somebody and they would look at me like, what do you mean your husband's gay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how could he be gay? He's a strong, macho guy, and, you know, there's something, it must be, either they think you're making it up to be vengeful, or, you know, you're just trying to put them down, so you're using that, like, that's the worst insult you can do to someone. So it really does closet us back up. And I think in the Christian community, I know that Suzette, who is kind enough to wait till next week so I could get you on tonight while you have the time. She also comes from, you know, a Christian background, you know, where this was not even something that you could even think about. And she even went back with her, you know, husband the second time because the church always taught her that God can change everything, you know, that God can fix all problems. And when he came back to her after a year or two, he said, look, I'm not the same man I was. I really love you. Those feelings have gone away. I prayed to God. He took those feelings away. And she wanted to believe him, and she did. You know, and she went back again for another miserable few years before that was the end of it. So I think a lot of times the church gets so much misinformation out. Do you think that's possible, too?
Well, the thing is, obviously it is a blanketed understanding that you get. I try to emphasize that our Christian faith should be our individual relationship with God and what he reveals to us. And that's why there's not a place, at least in the denominations I've been in, where there is a blanketed word to come down and we all have to abide. It truly should be personal. But all kidding aside, there's the word is there, and clearly that they believe that it's, you know, they're not... You're not going to be freely saying that you're gay and accept it. There are like some denominations that are looking at that, but not the ones in particular I was. But I would say I try to emphasize that since all of this, my relationship with God is way more personal, and he can reveal to me what he will reveal based on my relationship with him. And I hope that others can see it that way, too. And as far as marriage, you know, we talk about, well, we got divorced. Well, how did you do that, you know, because that's so in the Christian faith that we don't divorce unless there's, you know, just extreme circumstances. And we cling to that, living miserable lives for longer than we should because of that particular truth, when indeed I have heard clearly something that was explained to me that I try to tell others who I work with, and I do a divorce care group, but God loves the individual. He is not in love with the institution of marriage. He's in love with his people individually. And if there is something going on that is going to betray his people one-on-one, even if it's in the context of a marriage, the divorce is the alternative that is there. He is not about keeping your marriage together for the sake of a marriage. He is in love with each individual, and he wants each their best and would not want them to put up with anything that that is against his, you know, the love that he has for each of us. And I think sometimes we put the institution of marriage as, you know, well, you got to stay together because God's, you know, this marriage is God's thing. Well, yes, it is. But he first loves each of us. And then the marriage is something that certainly the ideal of it he wants to have, but not for the sake of anyone having to go through or having to deal with things that that would hurt them. And I think that's something we need to understand sometimes about that. And in the Christian faith, we stay together over many things, abusive situations, whether it be emotionally, physically, psychologically, because, you know, well, God doesn't want us to divorce. And no, he does not. But he also does not want his children to be hurt by relationships that that are not fulfilling the vows that were made. And I think that's something we need to consider along the way, whether it be gay or any of the things that, that can occur in a marriage that that God would not want to happen.
I know that I'm not Christian and that maybe I don't have a fundamentalist type of view, but even as a Jew, I don't have a fundamentalist point of view. But I would always have to believe that God is about love and that God would never do something to make people's lives tragic or harder than they have to be, and that God is more about acceptance and understanding. It doesn't have to be about approval. It has to be about acceptance and understanding. And understanding that people are born differently, I don't think God trips up people by saying, I'm going to make you into a gay man when you're born, and you're going to have to struggle your whole life. I mean, I don't think that's what he's about. And I think that people can make a make God into whatever they want to and take some writings and misinterpret them. And these were words that came down thousands of years ago. But the whole message, I believe, of God, no matter which Bible you're looking at, is a God of love and a God of healing and a God of happiness, and that you have to love God because God's going to love you back and not try to trip you up through your life by putting these kinds of major challenges in front of you. And I think that's what, you know, religion of any kind should be about. But unfortunately, that's not always the way it is. And yet I find some of the people who are the harshest from the religious segments are the biggest hypocrites of all. You know what I'm saying?
That's fortunately him to judge in the end. And I do find that ultimately he wants a relationship individually with us. Religions are there, and we need them for fellowship. But ultimately he has a personal plan for each of us. And that's, you know, which is astronomical to think of each person on this earth has a God has a plan for them, and to know what that is for ourselves, aside from our denominations or religious factions. He first of all wants, he loves us, and he wants a plan. He has a plan for each of us. You know, whether we follow that and or knowing of what that is, but he first of all loves us, and that's the important thing. And I think all this comes, you know, going through something like this does rock your world, but it does, it has the opportunity to get us closer to God and his plan for each of us, to where we can love our gay husband, love him in the sense that God created him. And, you know, he has a plan for that, and he also has a plan for our families, for our children. And there's nothing that can happen that he cannot be a part of and help us, guide us through other relationships. But
how are your kids relating to their father at this point?
Pardon me?
Are your kids close with their dad?
You know, they're in their 20s. They do go see him. You know, it's difficult to say at this point because they all are adult moving on, but not the same as it would have been if he were here. But they have created that relationship as much as he's willing to involve them, you know, in his life. So I'd have to say that they've adjusted to this, but, you know, I'm sure at times they wish there was a more of a presence here, even for myself, you know, of him being here. But he's a provider. He gets with them. He probably texts them all. But my thing was removing myself from the responsibility of him having that relationship, which even when he was here or home, you know, I thought that he could have been more involved. You know, it would have established a longer or closer relationship. So there is somewhat of a relationship, and my children moved on. But I still don't know to this day the impact that they might have on mm-hmm. them just because of that. I think the initial impact is one. It depends on how they take in the reality of it. And then I think it will always be there. It's not a great thing, just like it will never be a good thing that it happened in my life. But we all adjust and move along and really become more resilient to things happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let me ask you this, Nancy. We have women who are really going through a lot of pain because they come from Christian backgrounds, mm-hmm. Strong Christian backgrounds, you know, in the church. And they're trying to make something work that's just not working. They feel that they're betraying their vows that they made to God. I mean, can you give them any encouraging words?
Yeah, I think it's a process that not everything comes clear on the front end. I do recommend that they seek counsel for themselves as soon as possible, because what happens is you do lose yourself in this whole process, and it's hard to make any kind of decision about what to do based on your own thoughts and your own ideas of what you thought should be. I think one of the most helpful things was to have someone who I could go to and start talking about these things, because they help us see clearly that some of the things we've been doing maybe are unreasonable and we shouldn't feel this way, or they shouldn't be treating this way. But it's a journey that it's great to have someone to walk beside you and mm-hmm. and process it. And not initially, no. Initially, I was saying in that whole first reflection I made, it's like, well, you know, you've got this hedge of protection, you've got this family, and everybody loves you, and you've got this support. Why would you want to leave that? And you go, you know, to say, let's just try to figure this out. And that's the initial stage. It's normal. You're not going to already have a plan. You're not going to already know exactly what to do. But you do need mm-hmm. to begin to look and reflect on some tough things about yourself. What have I put myself through? What have I compromised in myself to make this work over the years? And have really... I guess punish myself, and God wants more for us than us to be so compromising of who we are to adjust to someone to make this work. And I just have to say, and everybody's got a different situation as far as, you know, the commonality of maybe a gay spouse, but certainly what happens too is they are financially bound to this person. They don't have, you know, if they're not working, they're either taking care of family, they can't do things financially. So there's a lot of practical things that keep them from doing anything. So if there's a possibility of at least going to see someone as a counselor to just talk through what's going on, and mm-hmm. I think as things become clearer and as you begin to gain some strength and reacquaint yourself with yourself, and be able to begin to talk about some things. And it could be a slow process, but I think ultimately you've got to look into yourself and some hard truths about what's going on and how that affects you, the family, We found sometimes think it's we should stay together because of the kids, and they know already if there's tension and all going on, so that's not necessarily a benefit. The main thing is just really see someone that will, outside of that relationship, to be able to have a licensed professional counselor, even to talk, even if they don't understand about the specifics of the gayness, just the your ability to talk and try to rediscover who you are outside of that relationship. And
do you
hopefully
think support is important when women are going through this?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, between an individual counselor and the support of others who are going through or have gone through it. And no one can say, depending on where you are in this journey, where I am here 5 years from now, the whole thing began. It takes a process that cannot be shortcut, and it just takes time. But ultimately, if he is gay, the marriage is not a marriage. And if it's something that you decide to stay together for other reasons, it's probably not the best outcome, but you've got to really examine what is best for you as a person and what God would have you do as an individual, aside from maintaining a goal of maintaining a marriage that the vows are obviously not being kept for whatever reasons. And like I say, each case is different. But ultimately, really, truthfully explore this with a counsel and God's guidance too. But I do realize, I think when I began to process all this, I realized how much I had adjusted myself and sacrificed who I was to balance something that was not my responsibility to make balance. You know, it is a power beyond us for a person to be gay and to be in a marriage that to make it work, but it's just clearly a difficult. And however much time it takes to get there, I think the many women who have gone through this at least this amount of time, 3 to 5 years, will tell you it is a painful process, but it is a healthy process. It will extend our lives to be able to truly be out there open about
it's a painful process. But, you know, and it's a process, as you say. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times these men don't understand it because they've been struggling with this for a lifetime, and then they tell us, and in 2 weeks they can't understand why we're not into it and understanding them. But there's no limit of time to grieve with this. You know, like a man asked me today, he said, well, why is this so different than other marriages? And I said, a lot of our women love their husbands. They didn't go in here, you know, expecting to get divorced. They love these men, even if they're broken. They're always trying to fix them. You know, they always find the good things in them, and they're the fathers of their children, and they don't want to break up a family. And a man decides one day, well, I've come to terms with myself. I'm on my way. And, you know, it shatters your life, like we say in Straightwise, shattered lives. You know, everything you hoped for, you dreamed of, you build up for, that you expected to do, those dreams are now gone. And you do have to go through the grieving period. You don't, and there's no limit on grieving. I mean, you don't want to stay there endlessly because otherwise you get bitter and you get stuck. But, you know, just like when somebody dies, you know, they say it takes a good year of grieving before you're even ready to discuss anything further. And, you know, to go, stop being obsessed by it. And same thing in a relationship. I tell our women it's going to take time. There's no easy fix. There's no quick fix. And plus the fact, you know, when somebody dies, it's over and you can have closure. With these marriages, there isn't the same kind of closure because the person's there. And he's often living a style that's not real comfortable to us with another man. And when you have to see the man you love with another man he loves, it can be very painful.
All those are adjustments. Periods, but you know, mainly to be able to handle all that, really, you have got to get the inner strength coming, not just from nowhere, but from God, obviously, but also from people who can walk through these things with us and help strengthen us, because you cannot do it alone. Obviously, if you have family members, I was, because my father's had years before me of understanding this, he was most helpful when I was trying to discuss this. And he was obviously knew better than me to say he's gay. This is not, you know, you cannot change that. And so I had a very limited but important group surrounded that I could really talk to, but also a counselor who had just happened to have gone through this herself and was still dealing with it herself. I think part of why she may have not been getting other counselees with it, so she was still trying to deal with it herself and wasn't prepared to talk to someone about this. Couldn't be objective is what she said. I can't be objective about this.
Nancy, that is important. We have somebody on the line. Can you hold on for just one moment?
Sure.
Okay. Do you have another moment or two?
Sure.
Hello, this is Bonnie and Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm sorry we had you on hold so long.
No, I was very interested to listen, and I'm always interested to listen. And I wanted I wasn't sure if I was on the air now.
You are.
You are, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wanted to share a story. It won't take too long. And I don't know if I hope I can be included, because I wasn't married, but I was with somebody for 7 years and very much felt in my heart married. And I just feel like maybe I can, you know, help a little bit. But I was with somebody who I would say for the first 2 years, I never knew anything about, I never really had any friends that were gay, although I was involved, ironically, in acting and theater and dancing for many years, but never really was close friends with anybody that was homosexual. So I didn't really have, you know, I didn't have any experience with that. And I was with somebody that was absolutely crazy about me. I mean, it was beautiful, romantic. I'm from the United States. He was from Italy. I met his family, everything. It was just the most amazing, beautiful relationship. And then I started feeling that something was off, and you know, I kept getting a lot of excuses and things from him. And fast forward, it was a 7-year relationship. In the last year, I found out that he had been with a man, and I think it was probably several different guys. I don't think it was one, but I only have proof of one. And the ironic part of the story is that when we were together, religion, I was actually raised Jewish, but very reformed, not really religious. He was Italian, so Catholic, but also not religious. Very, really wasn't any part of our relationship. And we would even talk about if we had a baby, how we would raise the child. And I said, well, usually, you know, if the baby's born of the Jewish mother. But I was very open-minded, and I always feel like children should be raised, you know, if people are of two faiths, just teach the child both. So, nope, are you still there?
Yeah, we're here. We're listening.
Oh, okay. I thought I hung up. So anyway, it wasn't a big part of our relationship, the religious thing. Well, after I found out what I found out, and I confronted him, and believe it or not, not in a mean way, I was deeply hurt. I was really angry. Obviously, he was cheating on me. He was lying to me. But I'm a very caring person, and with all of my anger, I thought, well, wow, he's been obviously struggling with this for a long time. Yeah. I'm an educated person, so I realized that somebody can't just turn gay in their 30s and 40s. You know, if you're gay, you're gay, and you've been like this your whole life, and you haven't wanted to live this kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So when I confronted him, which I tried to make very in a tactful way, he went into full-on denial. And he said that I was crazy, and that the evidence that I found was all a joke. And I said, well, straight men don't joke like this. And he, you know, tried to convince me it was a joke. And then as some time progressed, it was that last year I was trying to really, I was confused, like very confused. I didn't understand how the relationship, how could all of it be a lie? Like everything that everybody's talking about. You calculate so many things in your mind, and you go back and forth, and you can't figure out how all these years together and all the romance that you shared and all the loving, amazing times, how could all that not be real? How you lived it? It's like, what were you doing? Who was this person? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you were like, the whole thing was just, did it really happen? And what was I thinking? And who is this person? And I don't know. It was terrible. And I listened to him and I tried to believe the things he was telling me. But intuitively, I think I have a very, very, very strong intuition. And because I'm not, you know, I've been listening to these calls, so because I'm not very integrated into a synagogue, I'm not Christian, I don't have all these things pushing and pulling at me about what's right to believe, what's not right to believe. I had my own mindset and my own feelings that I was listening to. And meanwhile, on a personal note, which everybody can relate to here, there was no sex life going on. There's no romance anymore. That's gone. And you know, if that's gone, and meanwhile, I'm now 46. When I broke up with him, I was 42. And he was 5 or 6 years younger than me. So a man who's in their 30s doesn't just lose their sex drive. Okay, and this was a very virile, this is a bodybuilder. This is a guy that had a body on him, and I'm talking, he was even, which I did not agree with, he was injecting himself with steroids because he was doing competitive bodybuilding. And on a side note, that was another thing, of course, that kept me in a little bit of a part of a denial, because he's putting drugs in his body that do alter sexual, you know, the way you feel, I guess, actually. So that was something I thought, well, you know, if he's putting this in his body, maybe it was like another excuse on the side. But we had conversations about that. I didn't want him doing that, but I can't, he was using it when we got together. He was talking about getting off of them because we were talking about having a family and different things like that. But as time, the funny part, the reason that I called was to share, I feel so bad, not only for my own pain, but for what, you know, I think about what I've gone through, and I think about all these women that have married and they've had families and they're dealing years and years and years more than me, double me, triple me, you know, and I ache for them. And I just want to say it starts with self-love so much. And if we don't have that for ourselves, well, number one, you can't even have a marriage if you don't have your self-love first to begin with. But everything teaches you. It's amazing how when you pull away from this person that you know that they were living this lie. Now, my brain is like, so there's so many thoughts, but I wanted to add two things, is that at the end of all this is what's so ironic. Religion was not a part of his life, very, very minimal part of his life. He never went to church, nothing. And I thought, well, you know, if we ever got married, I would probably make it a point to go to church with him. Maybe he goes to synagogue with me. If we had a child, for sure, I would want to expose my child, you know. But religion wasn't a part of it when we were, you know, childless and not yet married. So here's the ironic part. After I confronted him and he went into full-on denial and I was in tears and tears and tears for months, hoping, literally crossing my fingers that he was going to come out. I thought, if he comes out, I can have a friendship with him, I will be okay, I can move on, I'll find somebody else, he'll find somebody else, and we'll actually have some sort of a friendship. Right. I was thinking it would be like all roses if he finally just comes out, you know, that we can both finally move on, neither one of us are married, we can make this work, but he wouldn't admit it. So then, here's the crazy part. While we were still together, before I did the actual breakup, he winds up meeting this person online on a bodybuilding website who is a born-again Christian. It is a female for all intents and purposes, but it looks like a man, so it could have been a transgender lady. I don't know, and I definitely don't put anybody down, but she doesn't look fully female to me. And now they are in a supposedly very religious relationship. They both became born-again Christians together, and I'm not a part of it, obviously, but in the beginning I was having such a hard time moving through this that I saw him posting blogs on this bodybuilding website and what he was doing. It's a bodybuilding website, and all he was doing is posting blogs about being Christian and how homosexuality is a sin. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. I'm like, this man just took 7 years of my life, which I know I allowed on some levels. But he's now putting down homosexuality, which he's homosexual. He doesn't want to live this lifestyle, and he's now telling everybody else that this is a sin. And then right in that moment when I saw this is when I realized, you know what, this in this situation, and this might be for a lot of people that are in this situation that are not wanting to come out, there's some sort of, it's almost like, I don't want to say they're all mentally sick, but there's some sort of a mentally ill aspect to this. There is, and I know mm-hmm. you've talked about this many times, about the narcissism mm-hmm. and about there could even be some psychopathology there. There's so many lies covering up. And so, you know, with all the pain that I endured, honestly, I think because I've learned, and it's so hard because I still struggle with this. I don't love myself every day. This is something that I have to, it's a daily thing. It's daily work. And to tell myself that we all have struggles, we all have things to learn, and this man is probably struggling more than I ever will. But he's
wrong,
living in denial.
That's really wrong, but that sounds good. You see, because this man is so compartmentalized.
Think.
No, you're suffering. He's not suffering. So stop worrying about him and start worrying about you. What he did to you was damage you. And as I say to women, it doesn't have to be a gay issue. It's a mm-hmm. broken man issue. And that's how you have to look at it. You can't sit and analyze him, what he's done, how he's suffering. No, he's broken, and you have to walk away because you want to be whole. And that's really what it comes down to. I also just want to mention to you, I don't know if you're getting my newsletters or not, you're more than welcome to join my support network if you write to me at bonkaye@aol.com.
Oh,
I'm happy to hook you up with as much support as you need. We have a great group. You are still hurting. And also, like you say, self-love, without that, your life is going nowhere. You'll just find the next predator. Because they're looking
I was listening to what you said. So true. And you know what's funny is that, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are listening that might feel, I don't know how many people go through, you know, when you have so much anger and pain, in those moments when you're so angry and in so much pain and you're hitting your head against a wall going, how did I not know? And how was this person lying to me for so long? You are so angry, and you feel like you feel like a victim, but you are right. There was a point there where when I was trying to get him in a nice way, we did have a fight about it at one point because I kept saying to him, "Why are you lying to me? Why would you lie to me when I've been honest with you this entire relationship about who I am?" You know,
mm-hmm.
And then finally, it did occur to me. There was a point there where I thought to myself, "You know what? I don't think he understands the he doesn't get this, and he doesn't care."
No, he doesn't. He's not going to get it. So stop making him try.
Yeah. And this is why it's so easy. This is the most painful part of it. Now, it might be different for all these ladies out there that are married, that they have children, that binds you. You can't just get out of somebody's life. When you have those kids, you're still connected. But when you don't have a child and a person moves on with their life, and you're left to be in pain, it's true. He wiped me out of his life. There's no contact. There's no connection. Of course, I didn't try. I don't want to be part of that. And I thought, that is true. There was a point where I thought, during the relationship when I confronted him, in those moments he was struggling because he was like a deer caught in the headlights in those moments. And I will tell you this. This is what maybe a lot of women did not see this part. I don't know. There were a couple days in the confrontation process, because it went on for like a couple weeks off and on, and he was crying to me. I'm talking crocodile tears, and it wasn't fake. He was crying, and I remember asking him, "What are you crying about? Let me be here for you." I was hoping the truth was going to come out. I said, "You need to talk to somebody. What are you feeling? Why are you in pain?" And he said to me, believe it or not, and you just brought this memory back, "I don't know why I need all this attention," he said. And what he was doing at that point, he was on the internet meeting women and men. Some maybe he was sleeping with, some he might have not been, but lots of texting, lots of calls. And I said, "What do you mean you need all this attention? You get a lot of attention from me." And that right there was obviously the definition of the narcissism part of it. And needing that constant feeding of, I guess, when the self-esteem is so low and they don't want to come out and they need something to kind of cloud all that pain and frustration. But then, like as you said, he easily moved on. He wiped me out of his life. And then we, the women, are left to feel all the pain and the frustration. Like you said, I heard the last call you mentioned, it's harder. I caught like the end of this part. It's almost like you're dealing with a death. You are grieving the same way as if somebody had died, because the person that you thought they were is dead. That person maybe really actually never existed, though. That's the funny part. we think they existed, but they didn't exist. It was like, what? It's a fake person. It wasn't who they really were. We, in our minds, we think. I mean, obviously you shared wonderful times. Obviously you had sex. Obviously you laughed together. You cried together. You made children together. You put rings on each other's fingers before God. Mm-hmm. All that happened. But I guess
You. Our show time is running out. Please write to me at Bonkaye, bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be happy to set you up in a support system and send you plenty of information.
Thank you so much.
The thing is,
having
Nancy,
some agree for other people
night
to talk to.
Before we're cut off.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And also, hopefully you'll be back during the summer. We'll catch up with you again and see how you're progressing.
I will.
And I want to mention everybody, Suzette will be here next Monday night. In 2 weeks from now, Donna Anderson from lovefraud.com will be our guest talking about sociopaths. So we have some really good shows coming up. And Nancy, you're a doll. I love you. And
I love you too.
Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers, by the way.
You guys are wonderful.
Children, right? You know, you never know how long you'll have them, so enjoy them.
That's right.
You know, make your special day. All right, love to you all, and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bonnie. Bye-bye.